other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, May 29th.
Almost June. May.
Yeah?
June, yeah.
Right. You have to think about it.
Slow morning, I guess, so far. My coffee hasn't kicked in yet. Wow, that's bad. I had to say the month, so then I knew.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. It's okay. It happens to me sometimes, too. It's a brain fart, you know? Yeah. That's what they call it.
Wow.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to the show, everybody. And we're going to have a guest in a few minutes. A writer who is fun as well. That's mm-hmm. what they promised us. So let's hope so.
Yeah, she sounds great.
Yeah. Usually authors are fun, you know. I mean, they have a way with people, I think. So
definitely. It's the creative mind.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
But it's like amazing to me. And we were talking about this yesterday, how people come up with stories like this and how, you know, sometimes they don't even know the ending when they write mm-hmm. a novel, you know.
Yeah.
They sort of like discover this as they write. And it's fascinating to me, you know.
It is. It's cool. And you really do have to have a creative mind to let the story kind of run with it.
Yeah.
I remember when I would write stories in school and, they made you like write a whole plan and it had to be like the beginning, the plot, like what was going to happen at the end. And it's like, it kind of ruins it. Whereas when you can just write on your own.
Yeah,
And I'm sure some people do know the ending before, but I guess it probably changes as they're writing and as
That's
they get
true.
Into the groove.
I just don't know how they can write such big books, though. You know, I mean, Greg Isles yesterday, three books of 800 pages each.
I know.
You know, I mean, the thing is, I would get impatient. I would just finish them quickly.
But I guess when you have something that you want to get out there, and that's kind of what he does. But I'm thinking of Harry Potter and books like that. I mean, those books are big. They're huge books, too. And they're not really getting anything out there.
Right.
It's just wizards and, you know?
I know.
Not really getting anything out there. And the other person we spoke to about the mafia and things like that. Like, that's kind of getting something out there, too.
Right.
So I see what they're trying to do. Like, when they have something that they really want to portray in a book and they portray it in a story.
Right.
But J.K. Rowling didn't really portray anything.
No, huh?
But I guess that's kind of harder to write because you don't have something that you want to tell everybody.
Right.
Well, you do in a story, but nothing that's has like that substantial of a meaning.
Right. Well, except, you know, I mean, obviously the story couldn't be told in less than seven books, Harry Potter, you know, so she wrote that. I don't know how that can happen, you know. I mean, how can you in your mind have a story that's going to take up seven books?
And you have to have some idea when you start writing that you know it's not going to end in one book.
Right.
And that you're going to keep going and keep going. It's like The Hunger Games, too.
Right.
I never read those books, but I really enjoy the movies.
Yeah.
Apart from, I didn't really like the last one because it was such a cliffhanger.
Oh,
I
really?
Literally thought that they ended the movie like mid-movie.
Really?
So many people loved the ending, and I was just like, wait, that's the end?
Wow.
There's no way.
Yeah.
So I was kind of mad at the ending. But that's what Greg was talking about yesterday, that you have to get it right where the audience is emotionally okay with the ending and not mad or...
That's true, yeah. You have to please people.
Yeah.
That's true. And I have read some books that I didn't like the ending,
mm-hmm.
you know. It just felt like you said, it just suddenly ends, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess with the Hunger Games, it's because there's another one coming.
Exactly.
So maybe that's why they did it.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is. I can't wait to watch the next one. I think they come out in October, November. But I was just really mad. I left the movie theater mad.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not okay. Should not have ended right there.
Give me back my $15 for crying out loud.
Yeah, and then when I go back in November or whenever it comes out, I'm going to probably have forgotten most of the things that happened.
Right.
And I'll need to remember.
Right.
So it's just annoying.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's okay. You'll rewatch it and then go.
Yeah, I'll have to rewatch it.
Yeah.
I guess that's the good thing with a book. You can always flick back and.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. And I have, I've had problems with my TV. It's been like totally pixelating and stuff, like freezing, you know. And I haven't really paid much attention to it because I don't watch much TV. But I finally decided to contact them yesterday. So the guy has me go through the whole process. He says, here, you know, it's going to update itself. Give it 2 to 3 minutes. I see that nothing's happening. I told the guy, he says, oh, wait a little more. I said, you know, I can't wait here. You know, I'm just going to like, let's let it finish in, you know, if it's going to take an hour or whatever. 8 hours it took for this to update. And then, and not enough, but when it was done, it started doing the whole thing all over again.
Oh, no.
So I got really irritated.
Was it DirecTV?
No, it's UVerse, AT&T UVerse.
I hate DirecTV.
Do you?
Hate them.
Yeah.
Well, and I hate AT&T too.
Yeah, so. I know. And AT&T just bought them. Or no, they're thinking of buying them.
Really? Oh, wow.
Them. Yeah. So that's interesting. But
I feel bad for the people that work there and have to sit because I get angry on the phone.
Right.
When I've been on hold for 20, 25 minutes and then I'm like, really, you just put me on hold for that long? And because when you speak to somebody and then they put you on hold, it's like the worst. When you're just on hold, it's like, okay, I get it. I'm in a line.
Right.
But then when somebody answers, and this was a couple days ago, I was on the phone to DirecTV and he forgot to press the hold button. He was like, just wait on 1 second so I could hear everything. Uh-huh. And he's talking to other people. So he's dealing with other customers he'd said, just give me 1 minute while I go try and solve this problem.
Really?
To me.
Yeah.
And I hear him talking to other people when he came back on the phone, I was like, I think you forgot to press the hold button because I just heard you speaking to other customers. I was like, when you answer one customer, you should finish with them and then go on to the next one. I was furious.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And usually people call in with problems anyway, so you're right.
Exactly. You're already mad that you have to call.
Right.
Then you've been on hold for a while, and especially if you call it like 1 p.m.
That's true. So they get the people already irritated.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Wow. But luckily they have chat and stuff, so I get on the line with them like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and so they're sending someone today to replace
it. They are.
Yeah. So
at least you got fast service. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like same day, you know, when you think about it. And I was glad about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So but now I have to wait for them for 4 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because did they just give you a window?
Yeah.
Well, come between 2 and 6. It's
right.
Like, I don't really have 4 hours just to sit here and wait for you, but I guess I have to.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'll be working anyway, you know, so let him come whenever he wants and have TV again. But, you know, now that I got that Amazon Fire TV, did I tell you about it?
No.
Yeah, that's it's like a very little box. It's like the size of, like a CD or something, you know, something like that, even smaller than a CD box. And it sits next to your TV. You connect it to your TV. It has Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you can watch movies from Netflix, from Amazon, from like a million other sources. I didn't even realize that they existed. And a lot of fun stuff, you know.
Through
the TV. Yeah, and through that thing. And it's got a remote.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's just like if your TV had all these capabilities in it, you know.
I have the Google Chrome thing.
Yeah.
I don't really get it. Because
the Chrome,
you can't.
It's that chip.
It's the little chip thing.
Right.
And then you put it into your computer. So whatever you have on your computer, you can get up on the screen.
Right.
But you have to be on Google Chrome.
Right.
So if you want... I downloaded a movie through iTunes and I couldn't play it.
Right.
Because it wasn't through Google Chrome.
Right.
So I was just getting frustrated.
So
Netflix would work because I could use that through Google Chrome. But by then I'd already paid the $6 or whatever to get the movie from iTunes.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So I was like, aw.
Yeah, I know. But if you want like nonstop movies, what you do is you pay the... I guess they raised it. So it's $100 a year to pay for Prime on Amazon. And then what happens is this. It obviously works if you buy a lot from Amazon because it gives you free two-day shipping. But what it also does is that it gives you unlimited access to many of their movies and TV shows and stuff. And they've got just about anything, just like Netflix does.
Oh, cool.
So you don't have to pay monthly. And... You can download it either on your Kindle Fire, which I have, but that was kind of a hassle, you know, and there's no remote and stuff. Here they have a voice recognition remote, too, so you can look up shows by name. Yeah,
that's cool.
I know.
Does voice recognition understand your accent? Because it doesn't understand mine. I like say, because a lot of people I know will say that text message.
Uh-huh.
I'll be
like Siri or something?
They use on the text message on the iPhone. You can press the button. It's like, see you soon, period.
Right. Yeah,
okay,
I do
period.
That. Yeah.
But it just doesn't understand my accent.
Wow.
It's completely wrong every time.
Wow, that's weird.
Yes.
And you speak clearly to it.
Yeah, I speak clearly. And even sometimes I try and do a somewhat best American accent that I can do. And it still doesn't get it.
Wow.
No. I'm like, great. I'll stick to texting.
Yeah, I know. No, for me it works. You know, I also have voice activation in the car, so it does work, you know.
Oh,
it
cool. Yeah.
Work. Yeah.
No,
but
it doesn't work for me.
Doesn't work for you. Wow. And you'd think an English accent, they would be able to recognize
it. I know.
That, you know, because it's the same language.
Yeah. I guess as my accent's kind of strange now. It's all merged.
Yeah, but still, you know, I mean, you're totally understandable,
yeah.
You know.
It's not like I'm speaking double Dutch.
No, exactly. Or Chinese or something, you know, pronounce L's like R's and R's like L's and, you know, I mean, so yeah, it's not like that, you know.
No, these silly iPhones don't understand me.
Yeah. That's funny, man.
So I have to stick to conventional texting.
Yeah, that's true. Isn't it cool how fast the week went by? I mean, tomorrow's Friday already.
It did.
Because we started the week late.
On Tuesday.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's okay. I need the weekend. I'm telling you, Charlotte, I don't sleep enough, you know. 4.5 hours last night. I don't know how I get up. Somehow I do, because I don't want to let the guests down.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just say, Charlotte, let's take the day off. I'm sleeping in. But you know what? It's good, because even if I slept in, I'd get up just as tired, you know?
Right.
Even
you
if
feel
I slept in till 10, 11 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and I don't like sleeping in. It's like you miss out on the whole day.
Right.
So it's good that it happens. I just have to time myself a little better.
It's the getting out of bed.
Yeah.
I'm the
same.
Yeah,
in the morning.
I never want to get out of bed.
Right.
I just
and
it, stay
it's got
bed.
A certain inertia to it, whereas I can't, I mean, I have to stay awake at night. I can't get myself to just get up and go to bed.
Yeah.
And then once I am in bed sleeping, then it's hard for me to get up.
Right.
You know? And it's really only a question of pulling off your blanket and getting out of bed, and
mm-hmm.
you're fine, you know?
Yeah,
but
totally.
Even that is difficult for me.
Definitely is.
Okay. All right, we got our guests calling in, so let's go ahead and take this. Good morning. You're on the air with Charlotte and Sam. Is this Robin?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show, Robin. How are you?
I'm good, Jay. And how are you?
We're awesome. I see. Are you calling us from New York today? I see the area code.
Oh, yes, I sure am.
Oh, great. Is that where you live?
Yes, it is. I'm looking right out over Central Park as we speak.
Wow. So you live in a nice place, or you work in a nice place?
Well, thank you. I'm looking out my home window, and the park is beautiful. It's very, very green, and we're in summer mode here.
Yeah, well, that's good. I guess in New York you get a lot of places where you get a nice view, huh? Because everything is up high.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah.
If you get up high, if you get high enough, the city looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. So is that where you lived all your life, Robin?
I did. I grew up here, right here in Manhattan. And for a laugh, both my grandmothers were born right here on the island of Manhattan. So multi-generational.
Yeah.
Female lineage here. Yes.
I guess New York lovers, you know. I know that, you know, many people say, myself included, that I love New York, but I don't think I could live there. But I think people that were born and raised there, they couldn't live anywhere else. Is that true?
That's what happens.
Yeah.
You develop a New York City addiction.
Yeah.
And I think the stimuli of the city, the pace, I love to walk out my door and there's so much going on.
That's
all
true.
The time, right away. You know, when I go to California, I always ask everybody, how many hours a day do you spend in your car?
Yeah.
And it blows my mind to hear, it seems like you guys spend I don't know, a quarter of your life, like a substantial amount of time in your car.
It's true.
So that's what I get from living in Manhattan. I get the freedom from cars.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And you got everything within walking distance. And it's just amazing. It's a great place, you know. But, yeah, us in L.A., you know, we're too spoiled, you know. We can't deal with the hardships of New York or, like, you know. Like, it's not as simple a life there, you know, because you're around so many people in close proximity that it's totally different from ours. Ours is so spread out here, you know, that and it makes social life harder, too, you know, when there's such big distances. So you're doing well. So you wrote a book called Broken Open. And
I did.
When did you write the book, Robin?
I wrote the book in the last few years, and I really enjoyed writing it. I set it in New York City, so it's a fun romp through the Frick Museum, a fictitious private club on Park Avenue, and Soho Restaurant. Just it runs throughout the city, which I love doing. And the book is an erotic novella with a love triangle. And as a matter of fact, Sam is the name of the man in the love triangle.
Of the lucky man who's got two women fighting over him.
Yeah. Your name features in the book.
Yeah.
So what happens in the beginning of the book is his mistress, who is his secretary, receives a letter from his wife inviting her out for lunch. And the two of them have a very unusual friendship, which turns out to be oddly empowering for both women. And it's just a sexy, if I do say so myself, a delightful, fun book. And the characters are, as the title explains, broken open, which is to say that they grow through the experiences in the book and blossom out into someone new or a better version of themselves.
Yeah.
But the main thing is it's sexy and it's fun.
Right.
How long did it take you to think of this concept? Because I mean, I know a lot of people that have had, the men that have had affairs with their secretary. So it's a very, it's a subject that I feel is pretty common. Is that kind of what you wanted to get from this, to kind of open people's eyes?
Well, I wanted to kind of flip it around, because it may be common for a man to have an affair with his secretary, but how common is it for his wife to call the secretary and invite her out?
Right.
Yeah.
And start discussing, well, did he do this to you? Did he do that to you?
Wow.
You're not as special as you thought you were. I know about these women. And I know he has another apartment, and how does that hit the woman that's having the affair with Sam?
Right.
How's she hit by that? And the relationship that begins to develop between the wife and the mistress, that's what drives the book. And it's very interesting. I fell in love with the wife while I was writing the book. She's gorgeous.
Wow.
She's smart. She's seductive. And she knows what's going on with her husband.
Yeah. So he's not pulling one over her eyes, yeah.
No.
Robin, so people can follow us. How do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. My last name's Reinach.
Okay.
And it's Reinach.
Right.
And robinreinach.com, and you can find me easily. I think I'm the only Robin Reinach in the world.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
unique in more than one way. Well, this sounds very, very cool. Now, how long did it take to write a book like this?
It took me about a year.
Yeah.
But that's because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, and I like to go over and over until each thing is, it's almost like combing the eyelashes of the words in the book. I really like to make sure it's perfect.
Yeah, and it has to be in a book, you know, because, I mean, once it's out there, it's too late to correct things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I know.
So, one of the things about the book is that it's written in short pieces, little sound bites, emails, letters, And that makes the book a really quick read. You can read it in... Here in New York, you can read it on the subway.
Yeah.
That's where we are while you guys are in your cars.
Right. And finish it in New York time, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. it's everything is done fast there. Well, this sounds very interesting. So you're saying that the wife knows about the affair, but she's not mad about it or anything?
Oh, I didn't say she wasn't mad.
Oh,
she
okay.
has her own responses, and she has her own plans.
Right.
And it's some question. And she has a secret,
right.
which I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
That explains a lot of her behavior, which is revealed towards about two-thirds of the way into the book.
Right.
And so it's not just sex scenes. There's a real plot. There's a real intrigue. There's a reason to keep turning the page and find out what happened. And since it's written in letters and emails, you can take a little episode or you can read a piece of it and feel pretty complete and yet still be curious what happens next.
It yeah. sounds
so
like
you can pick the book up and put it down.
It definitely sounds like a book where you want to read more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I was going to ask you, I mean, you pretty much, as you write, you explore the story as it goes, right? Or did you know how it was going to end and everything ahead of time?
I had a pretty good idea on this one, how it would end. Right. Generally, when I write, I have a scene in mind, and I tend to write toward that scene. I'm thinking, okay, how can I get from where I am now to that scene that I have in mind?
Right.
And so I had a pretty good sense of how the book was going to end.
Very good.
How many books? Sorry.
It was the getting there that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the truth. I was turning myself on as I was writing the
book.
That's
just what I was going to ask you. You know, I was going to say, you know, I mean, do you get turned on writing this stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I guess,
absolutely.
You know, you can't be removed from this if you want to really tell the story, you know. Well, that's amazing, you know, and the thing is not only that, but you must have an erotic mind also to write something like this, you know. I mean, not everybody feels comfortable writing
right.
stories like that and sex scenes and stuff, you know.
That's true. I found when I started to let my mind open, more and more would just come out. And in fact, I'm involved in producing a play. It's going to be an off-Broadway play called Consent. We're starting in the fall. And it's about role play and power dynamics in a gay relationship between two men. And I'm really looking forward to bringing that out, because you can see the power dynamic really clearly since there's no gender imbalance. And that's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow, that'll
yeah.
be cool. Well, congratulations on that. That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
How many
Thank
other
you.
Books do you have? I know you have a memoir, Girl Like Me.
Actually, this is my first book. I have a lot of different short pieces that have been published and other memoirs. For example, I wrote quite a bit about being in therapy. Boy, being in therapy. So, mm-hmm. and I've been working on a book that would just start each therapist I saw, okay, starting at age 12, and the first one declared me to be normal. So I thought that would be the first chapter. It would just be called Normal.
Yeah.
And then the second one would be called Wrong, which was the second therapy. And these are published different places. The third one was 11 years with Dr. Rosen. And each therapy, God knows, I've had more therapy than Woody Allen and more types of therapy and was briefly a gestalt therapist.
Really?
So I thought it would be very funny to just start this memoir of many different therapies and have the first therapist say, oh, she's normal.
Well, that's pretty
very
good.
Cool, yeah.
Now, you know, I did want to ask you, because I sometimes wonder about this. You know, when you write books and you come up with ideas, you know, the thing is that many times, you know, it comes from your mind, you know. So do you feel like embarrassed or sort of apprehensive that people will realize, hey, these are my personal thoughts and I put them in the book? You know, because like when somebody writes, like what fascinates me, if someone writes a book on like, you know, totally different topic, like let's say a serial murderer or something, mm-hmm. right? It's like, how do you get these ideas, you know? And you wonder, well, is this, you know, is the writer yeah. capable of doing these things, you know? So what do you say, Robin? I mean, is part of you in the book?
I'm every one of the characters. I mean, clearly, as I confess to you, I fell in love with Andrea Thane. That's the wife, uh-huh. and I felt I could be each one of these characters. And so, does that mean part of me is out there for the world to see? Yeah, right. But doesn't that happen to every artist? Mm-hmm. I think it's unavoidable.
That's true. That's very true. And that makes sense. I mean, with every artist, because you get such exposure to many different people that you have to put so part of yourself, at least, into what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yes. And do I get nervous about it? Sure. Why? Yeah. Why would I not get nervous? Is that going to stop me from creating my art? No.
Right. So, are there any other books within this genre coming up from you?
I'm working on one right now about the kink community in New York City,
right.
which I've been exploring the last few years. And my working title is Kinky, but I don't think that's going to be the book title when it comes out. So.
Yeah.
I've been having some fun with that, and I don't want to talk too much about that because I'll ruin a surprise.
Yeah,
but it's going to be a fun read.
Is it hard to think of a title? Because that's something that immediately grabs the reader's attention and makes them want to buy it. How do you get a title that you think, oh, that's the one that people are going to want to read?
You want to know the truth? I'm not good at titles.
Yeah.
I'm not good at a snappy short answer. I'm really good at exploring something, flushing it out. The title thing, I find that a challenge.
Yeah.
I try to put all the thoughts that I have about the book and what the theme is and what I hope people will get out of it, lay all that out in my head, and then I hope that something will emerge that really talks to me. Doesn't always.
Yeah.
Then I start talking to my friends
yeah.
and hope they have a brainstorm.
Well, Robin Reineck,
yes.
from New York, the book is Broken Open, and everybody can go and get it. You can go on her website too, and I'm sure we can Google you and find social network links as well for you. And
you can. And it's on Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Amazon, the regular stuff.
All the places
right.
where they sell books. And
the usual suspects.
Yeah, and we were talking about this. You guys in New York, you still have a few Barnes & Noble. I mean, here they closed almost all of them, you know. So you guys
not
are lucky.
Not too many. Not too many. One closed in my neighborhood recently, and we got a Century 21 instead.
Oh, wow.
I was sad. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We get CVS's instead of it and all kinds mm-hmm. of things, you know. And it's sad, you know. I mean, it's very sad. And, we used to have Borders here as well. Now it's TJ
right.
Maxx.
Borders closed here, too.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate, you know, because mm-hmm. For people that love books and love bookstores, it's disappearing, you know. It's a disappearing phenomenon, and people are going to just have to, like everything else, just shop online mm-hmm. and get it at half price, you know. What are you going to do? So
It's true.
Yeah. Robin Reineck, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Congratulations on the book. Yes, absolutely. Congratulations on the book. When did it come out? When did you publish it?
Actually, it's in pre-review right now. So if you buy a copy, the back looks a little different than the
okay.
final copy will look.
Oh.
So
a collector's
I'm
item.
Not clear if they consider that. That's probably considered. I think it's pre-publication right now.
Oh.
So in about a month. But you can buy it.
Awesome.
Great.
The publishing world is changing. It's kind of strange when you publish a book now. If you're not Random House,
right.
you have pre-release copies, and that's what's available now.
Oh, very right. interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so
congratulations.
You can buy it now, even though it's considered a pre-release copy.
Okay, sounds great. Well, sounds interesting to me. It's probably aimed more toward women, but I like stuff like this, you know. I mean, I read like Jackie Collins and stuff, so I can read this stuff, you know. It sounds interesting to me. And yeah, you got me fascinating about this triangle now, you know. I mean, I want to know what's going on, you know. It's really interesting because, you know, people have different views on things. I mean, people can have like threesomes and stuff and still, or swing and stuff and still continue to be in a great relationship. For a regular person like me, it's hard to understand this, you know, but it's cool to explore these things in books and movies. Yeah. Robin, well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
And much luck with the book. I'm really excited for you.
And Thanks so much. Thank you so much for having me and talking about Broken Open on your show.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sure. Take care, Robin.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, another book for...
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah, I know.
I like how it's in... That's a book I could read that's in short pieces.
Exactly.
You know?
And erotic, too, so it keeps you going, you know?
Yeah. I always remember a scene from Friends. Do you watch Friends at all? I watch... Every night I watch Nick at Night.
No, I don't think I ever watched even an entire episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite. But Jennifer Aniston... Yeah. Rachel on the show, she has this erotic book that she keeps under her pillow, and one of her friends finds it, Joey, and makes fun of her the whole day and is kind of teasing her, saying like,
really?
The chimney man, the chimney sweeper, and finally she gets it and she's like, oh, you found my book.
Wow, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, you sometimes you wonder, you know, I mean, when sometimes I think about this. When you die, everything about you is revealed, you know? I mean, and because I was reading about this somewhere, and they brought this up, like, if you have, like, sex toys or something, you know, when you die, you don't want people to find
you. Yeah.
So I don't remember what the article said about what to do about this, but... Yeah, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things people will find out about books and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, like, what kind of a feeling is that? You know, like, let's say after a parent dies or something, you know, and you find out, gee, they were into this and into that.
Right.
How embarrassing, you know? I mean, obviously, you're not alive to be embarrassed, but still, you know. So I think as you get older, but then again, not everybody dies when they're older, you know. You never know when you're going to die.
That's
so you can't really prepare for it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got embarrassing things, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, a few things in the news, I guess. Did you hear that Brad Pitt was attacked on the red carpet by this fan who tends to attack celebrities on the red carpet?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that, no.
Yeah, so they went, I guess it was the premiere of Angelina's movie. What's it called again?
I don't know.
I could never pronounce this name. It's like I can't even begin to pronounce it. Maleficent, you know, it's like from the Sleeping Beauty, isn't it? From that story.
Yeah, I know. Maleficent, I think.
Maleficent. That's what I think too. Yeah, Maleficent. That makes the most sense in how to pronounce it. And, you know, I mean, people would laugh at me because kids know the name, you know? I mean, it's a kid's book, but I don't know. I never had to pronounce the name before. So,
But he was attacked?
Yeah, so he was attacked. And they're saying this is the same guy that jumped Will Smith and tried to kiss him. You know?
Wow.
And Will Smith slapped him back.
Aww.
Yeah. So,
crazy
yeah,
fan.
So this guy's crazy, you know? I guess, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see it now.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with people, why they're so crazy, you know? But it's like you're in the public eye and it's scary.
Right.
You know? By the way, I mean, I just remembered, you know, speaking about being in the public eye, this woman yesterday wrote to me on Facebook and I thought this was a total scam. You know, she says, somebody's impersonating you, using your pictures, and you probably should find out about this, you know.
Did it say click here?
No, it did not. And it's from a woman in Canada, I believe. And so we're going to have her on the show next week because we open up this whole can of worms of what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she found So, I mean, listen what she did. I mean, this is like amazing.
Wow.
So she was on a dating site.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to give it away because it doesn't really matter. But so she says she met this guy and things seemed kind of odd after a couple of days. I don't know why they seemed odd to her. But at any rate, so she decided she's going to investigate this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So she downloads a couple pictures, scans, excuse me, scans them into Google and searches the photo. And what happened is she says, all your profiles, things came up. You know, like my Facebook, she says, it's your Facebook picture. So Google recognized it and put your Facebook link up. So I'm like, wow, you know, she actually went through the trouble and found me based on the pictures. So she knew it's a scam. The guy's scamming her.
So it was your photos that he's using.
Yeah.
Oh,
and there were a lot of them from Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. I downloaded like 10 pictures of mine with my son, too. And shit like that. So, I mean, that's scary. Isn't that scary?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, but what can he do? So, on the one hand, I told her, I said, you know what? In a way, it's a compliment because he felt my pictures would attract women. So, that's the funny part. But she says I was going to call the police and everything because she must have gotten, like, really jaded because of it, you know?
Well, yeah, because then
he let her on and stuff.
Person that's wanting to meet her. That's
right.
The scary part. You don't know.
So then she says, I wonder if he's using your information, too. So, but he told her he's got a daughter in London and blah, blah, blah. I told her no, so obviously he's not.
Because
he can't know me, you know?
Was he using a name?
Yeah, well.
Like the same, like your name?
No, I don't think so. I think. Yeah, I don't know what name, but it probably wasn't it, you know. So
wow.
So then she says, you know, I wonder. So she says, when I found you, I realized you're like in the public eye and everything. And she says, so why would somebody steal pictures of someone in the public eye that probably could get recognized, you know?
Yeah.
But so I don't know. Go figure. You know, maybe he found my combination of pictures with my kids and without and all that stuff was like a perfect way to present.
That's crazy. A family
How
man
old
or
was
something.
She? I don't know. I didn't ask. But she seems like maybe 30s, 40s
okay.
or something. Yeah.
So not like super young.
No, not super young. Yeah. No, not at all. And yeah, no, it's a regular website, one of the popular ones. And
wow.
Yeah, just in case she doesn't want to give it out, I'm not going to say it. But at any rate, we'll have her on the phone and we'll find out the exact story from her next week and also find out, you know, like, or discuss this online.
Yeah, because that's an eye-opening.
It really is, you know.
That's
an
eye-opener.
I mean, she says, you know, your identity was stolen. How many other things is he passing, you know, is he passing himself off as you? So I don't know, but yeah.
Wow.
But I still can't get over the fact that my pictures are attracting women. At least he feels that way. And maybe she did.
That's
too.
A compliment.
I know. But you know what? I try to get on dating sites. I don't get anything. I don't get any responses at all. And if I do, it's much older women and stuff. I'm like, you really think I would go out with you? I mean, look at you and look at me, you know? I mean, I think I deserve something a little more beautiful. You know? So, yeah, you know, and sometimes it's just like, you know, I mean, yeah.
That's crazy, though. That
dating sites
are
weird.
Because you never know. It might be somebody that you're friends with.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be.
That's true. Taken all your photos.
Yeah.
And
but it's funny.
Crazy.
Yeah. I know.
Crazy people.
Wow.
You might be listening right now.
Yeah. If he knows me, yeah. But it's, yeah. But then again, you also wonder, why would someone make up a story? If you're going to eventually find out and meet them, you know. So apparently, I don't think he was ever planning to meet this woman or any of the women he's trying to scam. It's just a scam. That's what it is, you know. Probably trying to get money out of them or something, you know, get them invested in this. And it's, so you really have to be careful of what's going on out there. I mean, all these fake profiles and stuff, you know.
No, definitely. Wow. And people, I mean, can get a hold of your stuff now so easily.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when you're in the public eye. I mean, you know, we have like websites and, you know, and open Facebook pages mm-hmm. and all that stuff, you know. So people can really find out and try to use it, you know. But I don't get it, you know.
Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do. What are you going to do?
Right.
You know. Who knows who this guy is and what are you going to, you know, sue him for? He didn't really try to say he's me. He just put up pictures of me.
Photos of you. You know? Yeah. You probably could sue, though.
Yeah, probably could. But where are you going to find him?
Everything now.
Yeah. Where are you going to find him? He probably doesn't have a penny to his name anyway, so who needs to sue
Very
him?
Very true. You know? Very true. You're a nice man, Sam.
I guess, yeah. People are freaking crazy, man. I don't get it, you know. But I don't know what the success rate is for people on dating sites, you know. I mean, I can say this, that when I was looking for a relationship, after a while that I'd been divorced and dating and stuff like that, I decided I'm going to look for a relationship. So I went on JDate, you know, and that's like a Jewish dating site.
Right.
And I found, and I connected with this Israeli woman, which is interesting because I had never dated an Israeli woman since I came here, you know, and that's like you're talking 38 years. It's going to be this June that I've been here. So I met her, and that was rather easy. I mean, after a few days. But I got to tell you, you know, I mean, I'm like on, you know, you go on like Match.com and shit like that, and there's nobody, you know, because it's like so, there's such great selection that it's hard to stand out, you know. So then they charge you extra if you want to, like, be on the top or something, you know, you got to pay extra.
Oh,
if you
really?
Wanna
I didn't
this.
Know that.
Yeah, if you highlight your profile, you have to pay and all this stuff. So you know what? I just took down my profile and I canceled this. Yeah, I mean, it's like, what am I getting from this? I don't even care about it.
I feel like you have
it.
To be all in if you're going to do it. I tried to look up the success rate, but there's no exact 20% of all people trying to get on 20% of all people trying to get on eHarmony are rejected.
Oh,
by
really?
eHarmony.
Yeah.
By that personality test.
Wow.
Wow, that's a slap in the face.
Yeah. Not as bad as the one that's called beautifulpeople.com or something, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Have you heard of that one where they only allow beautiful people there?
And I mean, and so JDate is the Jewish one. And
right.
Then there's
and then this Christian Mingle.
FarmersOnly.com.
Right.
And there's so many of them now.
There really are, you know. There's.
But I guess it's good because, and it's probably stopping the huge databases of people because, like, all the farmers go to FarmersOnly.com.
Right,
and all
exactly.
The Jewish people go to JDate.
Exactly.
Christians go to Christian
Mingle,
yeah.
Right.
So it's kind of narrowing it down.
It is, you know. I mean, there's niches for everything now. And it's, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, online is a great way to meet people. Don't get me wrong. I met some great people online. I mean, way back when I lived in South Africa in 1997.
Wow.
And I was meeting people online, you know, through the internet.
Wow,
the
internet see, that's
was
cool.
New.
Exactly. Like back then to be meeting people online, like now it's, I mean, I know someone who just got engaged to somebody who they met off.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't eHarmony, but it was the other big one.
Okay. Match.com.
Yeah, Match.com.
Right.
And they just got engaged. But back in 97.
Yeah. You see, and that's the thing. Back then, in order to be on the internet, you were pretty geeky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so not many women would get on the internet.
Right.
But I remember specifically in South Africa, I met a few women that way, and it was great, you know?
Yeah.
It was free, too, at the time, you know, because everybody was trying to build their traffic. I mean, I remember when Match.com was free, they were one of the first ones, and they somehow managed to survive, you know? But I don't have any good experience with it, so.
I guess it's for some people and not for others.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm also, I think, at a more difficult age to find someone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want somebody my age, you know, but I don't want to go too young, you know. So it's like, you know, you have to find somewhere in between, you know.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. But you have to understand, I mean, men just, I think, by nature, always attracted to younger women and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's just because I think the younger women, like in the in the scheme of things, represent, you know, fertility and mm-hmm. things like that, you know. So I think that's why,
exactly,
you know, we don't even think about it. Our mind just kind of goes to it, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, and
I've heard things that men are attracted to people that have a little bit bigger hips because childbearing hip,
fertility and stuff mm-hmm, like that. Yeah. That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, there's all kind of body structures, I guess, and people are attracted to just about everything. But it's very interesting, you know. And the thing is that it's hard because, you know, to find someone in their 30s or 40s. They're going through still their childbearing years or right. at least raising their children.
Yep.
You know, at 40, your children are like teenagers or something, mm-hmm. you know. And that's not what I want. You know? I don't want someone like that. I don't want like a family now, you know. I just want someone to date.
You've done that. Yeah.
I just want someone to date, you know.
You don't want another two-year-old running around.
Right, yeah. So what I discovered, though, is that it's much easier to find someone, to connect with someone offline. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, online you prepare sort of like a laundry list, you know.
Completely.
It's like they have to be this age, they have to be this tall, they have to be, you know, blonde hair, white, whatever, mm-hmm. you know. And what happens is in real life, it doesn't work that way. In real life, you meet someone and you're just attracted to them. You don't pay attention to the details.
Completely.
Right?
And the way that you guys interact.
Right. Or you will, like, maybe, you know, ignore the fact that he's a little shorter than you or something, you know. Or maybe not the exact age you wanted mm-hmm. or not the same hair color. But you're still attracted to them, you know. So I think that's why online is really misleading and also limiting in a way.
Completely. You know? I agree. There's nothing better than an instant spark or instant connection.
Right.
And you know if you're going to get on with somebody or not.
Right.
And sometimes over text and over Facebook and over the internet, people have a confidence that they don't have in person.
Yeah.
And
that's
when it's kind of like, oh, you spoke so much on the internet and now you aren't really talking.
Right. You don't say anything. That's true. Yeah. You can find people like that.
Yeah.
You know? Or like you don't look, you're not as young as your pictures look.
Right.
You know, that's another thing.
I love when people tell me, you look exactly like your photos. Like, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that. Thank you. That's the best compliment you could have given me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, a lot of things. We were talking about this woman that was raped and stoned, or no, not raped, but stoned by her family yesterday in Pakistan. Now, in India, again, it seems like the world capital of rapes in the world.
Wow.
Two girls, 14 and 16, were raped and hanged in India.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I mean, you know, how scary, what an end to your life, you know? I mean, the thing is, 14 years old, you're so innocent, you don't know what the hell's going on. Suddenly you're exposed to that kind of mm-hmm. violence and you lose your life on top of it, you know?
Right.
I mean, how devastating can that be?
It's awful.
And
for the families, too.
Yeah, for the families, you know?
The two children.
Yeah.
Because were they sisters?
They were cousins.
They were cousins.
Yeah.
So that's a whole family now that's having to grieve.
I know. And it's not just like, natural death is bad enough, you know, but to die like this, you know, mm-hmm. and you think.
It's brutal.
And you can't help yourself but thinking of their last moment, you know.
Completely.
What was that like, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to think about.
It's awful. Awful to think about.
And this is like gang rape, by the way. It's not one guy, you know. I mean, so it's just like, I don't know how many people were there. But
like, what kind of people do that? It's just terrible to think that goes on.
Yeah. Animals, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to wonder what culture allows this to happen.
Exactly. And how you were brought up to do that. Like, that's not okay.
You know,
how did you not know that that's not okay?
But that happens in society that oppresses women and views them as objects and stuff. That's what happens, you know. Now, the woman that was stoned yesterday, her husband says that the family stoned her and killed her because she wouldn't pay them to let her marry this guy. So if you remember, she was married.
There was a planned marriage, but she married someone else.
Right. She married someone else and the family stoned her to death. by the courthouse where she went to fight this. So, yeah, they wanted $1,000. For $1,000, they killed her. I mean, the father and the brothers. Yeah.
It's hard to comprehend.
It is hard to comprehend, you know?
Like, I just couldn't imagine anyone in my family.
Yeah. And you see, many of those cultures would probably just look the other way and say, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is very sad.
It is.
All right. Well, that's it for this morning, folks. Tomorrow's Friday, my favorite day.
And best maybe, day of the week.
Yeah, I'm going to try and really do something this weekend. Maybe go to the beach because I love riding the bike there, you know.
I'm wanting to buy a bike.
Yeah.
I really want to buy a bike.
I know, you mentioned that. Yeah. Cool.
So that's what I'm going to look for this weekend.
I have a very good bike that I haven't used. And God, I bought it for like $400 back then, you know, and now it just sits around, you know, doing nothing. So, but I need to start riding
it
too.
Put it to good use. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have it all tuned up and everything. I'll start riding it because it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
See you, everybody, tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.